Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. My guest today is dream expert Kelly Sullivan Walden. Kelly is a well-known dream expert, best-selling author, a certified clinical hypnotherapist, as well as being a popular radio and TV personality. Kelly has written many wonderful books on the topic of dreaming and dream interpretation. Kelly is also fabulous and inspiring as a coach. I know her as someone who truly desires success for others, and she has this magical way of seeing what's beautiful about you and helping you live from that place by really honoring it. I feel so lucky to have Kelly on my show today since she's super in demand for radio and TV, and she was just recently on the Dr. Oz show. Like Kelly, I've long been a dreamer and aware of my dreams. When I was in junior high school, I took a class on dreaming. I started a dream journal and I've been dreaming my head off ever since. Many psychics like myself are big dreamers. I really think it's a side effect of doing psychic work. I have all kinds of dreams. Weird dreams, funny ones, plenty of nightmares. And I also have recurring dreams, which fascinate me. And I have lucid dreams, the ones in which you are aware of yourself dreaming and you think, oh my gosh, this is a crazy dream. Sometimes my dreams are so intense that I actually wake myself up early in the morning just to get out of the crazy dream I'm in and get a break from dreaming. And I certainly have had my share of anxiety dreams. You know, the one where you're in a crowded space and you suddenly realize you forgot your pants? Had that so many times. I have this whole dream landscape that goes on inside my head that's super consistent, like places I've been that I go to over and over again that really just exist nowhere else but in my own psyche. Over the years, I've learned to mine my dreams for information. Kelly talks about this in her many books on dreaming and dream interpretation. She says there are nuggets of gold in our dream if we only know how to find them. We can find answers to our problems, discover how we really feel about things, connect with our inner guidance, and even heal from trauma by learning to understand our dreams. There can be great, great healing if you really learn to get down with your dreams. So let's dive right in and welcome Kelly. Welcome, Kelly.
Lisa, so great. It's so dreamy to be with you. I love what you said. Let's get down with our dreams. I love that. Let's do it. And I love your pantless in public dream.
Yeah.
I love it. I didn't realize that you, I assumed you were a major dreamer, but I didn't realize you were such a dreamer. So that's exciting for me to find out.
I'm such a dreamer. And I have to say that I have kind of a love-hate relationship with my dreams because on one hand, I love them. But on the other hand, they're sort of, I'm so mercilessly aware of them. And I just dream all night long. Like I feel like, and I remember them in the morning, and a lot of my dreams are lucid. So I'm like, having that experience of like the crazy thing going on in the dream and then the awareness of the dream at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's a quality problem. So many people would be are jealous of that problem, but I know it's, you don't really get much rest even while you're resting. It's definitely an active state. Although if somebody walked by, they'd go, oh, she's sleeping. She looks so cuddly and cute. And what's going on inside is the Matrix.
Right. Well, what's going on inside is I'm looking for my pants, you know?
Right. God. Exactly. Exactly. You can talk about that if you want.
Yeah, I would love to do some dream interpretation. I have a really, actually thought of a really good one for you, but because I think you'll get a total kick out of it. But I want to know like how you got into dreaming. Like, how did you start being a dream expert?
Well, it's definitely not a path I ever dreamed of that I would do for a living at all. I started becoming aware of dreams when I was very young, and it was around 5 years old, and it was around Halloween, and it was a series of scary dreams that were recurring about a witch and a castle and somebody trying to kill me, and it turned out that my sister was having the same dream. And she's a year and a half younger than me, so she must have been, what, 3.5 or 4. And we would continuously have dreams that were very parallel. So because of the fact that my sister and I had what they call tandem dreaming, which is where you share a dreamscape or share dream characters or have similar themes happening regularly, I became aware of dreams and I looked forward to remembering them and sharing them with my sister. And even though my sister and I are very, very different creatures, we're wired completely differently, because we shared dreams with one another, we've been so close, like twins, psychically bonded because I believe of our sharing of dreams. So, and then we learned how to resolve nightmares, and I learned how to eventually shrink the witch and throw her off the castle and become empowered in my dream, which I learned later on, like many years later, 30 years later. It's a very advanced thing that they teach at Harvard and that they charge lots of money for. It's called imagery rehearsal therapy. It's a technique that you can use with anybody with PTSD or recurring nightmares. You learn how to redirect your dream in the waking state, and then it has an effect on your nighttime dream, and then it affects your life. But I forgot all about dreams all throughout my 20s, even though I was a very vivid dreamer up until my 20s. But during my 20s, I was all focused on acting and the entertainment business, and I couldn't care less about my dreams. It was all about the external world. And there was a moment in time where I became so external that I had completely kind of sold my soul, in a sense, didn't have anything going on internally. I hit a bottom. And I became suicidal because it's like I couldn't find myself anymore. And because luckily there was some divine intervention, I didn't die. I ended up becoming, I started going to therapy. I started to learn about different spiritual modalities, and that became the greatest blessing. I became a hypnotherapist and I became a spiritual practitioner, and I got my dreams back. And a therapist told me around that time when the only dreams I was remembering were nightmares. And she told me something that changed my life and that has become kind of the bedrock of what I teach people, with all my books and everything I do. And what she said was, a nightmare is an unfinished dream. And it's up to you, Kelly, to figure out how you want to resolve that dream. And you can resolve it inside your dream. You can also resolve the nightmares that you're having in your waking life. So that was like this incredibly empowering perspective that had never occurred to me. And it really changed my life. And now it's something that all these years later, I really love to teach people.
That's such a cool story. And I mean, I think that I like my dreams because I recognize that they are a direct access point to this, the deeper part of our psyche, like our unconscious, you know, or these sort of like lower aspects of ourselves that hold a lot of pain, but they also hold a lot of wisdom. And to me, it's like fascinating. For I went for through a long period of time where I was dreaming about sewers and walking around in sewers, walking around underground. And I one day realized, I'm like, that sewer is my subconscious.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, you're underground.
Yeah.
Wow. You were getting to know your Persephone landscape, your Hades, in a sense, getting grounded. How beautiful. Yeah, I always think of dream work as soul work. And it's almost like what's most important to me isn't really even dreams. It's the soul. It's my soul, being connected to my soul. And one big surefire way to be in touch with my soul, to feed my soul, and to grow my soul is for me to pay attention to my dreams. And I notice on the days that I wake up, and if something woke me up and I didn't get to pay attention to dreams that day, I notice I feel a little bit untethered. I don't feel quite as grounded or quite as in my body. And it's, to me, that's what it's all about. If we want to really be happy and thrive, we can't do it if we're out of touch with ourselves, with our soul. So one way to do that, especially during changing crazy times, I know a lot of people who will be listening to this may be freaking out about the election and all that. And we can freak out all we want about the external stuff, but really there's a lot we can do internally to be okay and to ride through these times and even figure out how to thrive. And to me, dream work is one of those modalities that can help us do that in such a powerful way. Can I share a little story about something that just happened to me about this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, on Facebook, I don't know if you saw, but I posted recently, I've been sharing a lot of political stuff, which is very new for me. I've never expressed anything political. I've always wanted to please everybody and not rock any boats. But nowadays I'm like, hey, whatever. I marched. I was at the Women's March and it did something to me. Anyway, I shared about the Women's March and how big of a deal it was to me. And my mom contacted me and she said, I can't get a hold of blah, blah, blah. It's one of her best friends who's my godmother. And it turned out that she blocked and unfriended me and my mom because we went to the Women's March and her political views are on the other side of the aisle. And I was so devastated by this because she's my godmother. She's like somebody who's been so close to me my whole life and my mom. And so I was really disturbed by this, like really heartbroken. And my mom cried for 3 days straight. So I felt so codependent. I was like, oh my God, what have I done? Anyway, I had a dream that she was apologizing to me. And basically, she was saying everything in my dream that I wished she would say in real life. Like, I'm so sorry, Kelly. I love you unconditionally. I don't care. I'm so proud of you that you are self-expressed, even if it's a different opinion and blah, blah, blah. And in the dream, I thought, ah, Kelly, you're dream crafting this. Like, you are giving yourself what you wish would happen in waking reality so that you can heal yourself regardless of what she ever does or says. So I woke up in the morning feeling completely healed. Like, I'm good. I don't care. It's totally fine if we never talk again. And of course, a couple hours later, I get a call from my mom saying that she had received a phone call from my godmother. And she said basically verbatim everything she said to me in the dream to my mom. And she told my mom to tell it to me. So
wow.
It's kind of spooky. I call it dream crafting because it's kind of like witchcraft, but a little different, but similar because you can affect reality through without having to go and hurt anybody or yell at anybody or hurt yourself. It's like there's a lot we can do internally with our dreams and get the outer effect. Sometimes it doesn't happen right away, but usually it does happen at some point soon. So.
Right. I love that. Thank you for sharing that story. It's a beautiful story. And I have had many similar experiences where of dream crafting, although I love that word. I think that's awesome. And I do feel like that part of our brain that soul part or the
yes.
unconscious part really responds so well to symbols, you know, so it
yes.
speaks the language of symbols. And
yes.
we have to understand that it has its own language. That dream interpretation is a lot about trying to figure out the symbols, you know, how to understand our own psyche symbols and the collective conscious symbols that represent that. But that is the part that creation comes out of. So when you talk to that part, then yeah, you can create.
Yes. And it's an interesting little game, kind of similar to how and why people use crossword puzzles, not because the crossword puzzle is so interesting, but because of the muscle that it creates in the mind. When you solve the puzzle of your dreams, it's like you're really working out a muscle. You're making a muscle in your mind strong. That part of your mind that thinks symbolically. And my experience is that when we begin to think deliberately, symbolically in our waking life, it elevates our consciousness. It's like it puts us on a higher plane and we begin to vibrate differently. We begin to think differently. And all of a sudden, the whole world around us begins to speak to us. It's like we put ourselves in that sweet spot where people talk about being in the zone, where you think about somebody and they call, or you're in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing, and you just feel so good. Speaking and being aware of symbols and talking about dreams, it always seems to do this. And this is not to do a shameless plug, but this is one of the reasons I created the Dream Oracle card deck, mostly for people who don't necessarily know what their dreams or dream symbols mean, but they want to start thinking symbolically. And playing with cards or playing with symbols in your waking life can do that. Like even the symbol, if you don't mind me bringing this up, of not having any pants on. That's symbolic of, you know, of perhaps feeling exposed or feeling like you're being revealed and maybe more revealed, maybe more naked than everybody else is. Not having the protective layers that other people do or feeling vulnerable or maybe feeling like you got your mojo flowing and who needs the pants? But it's so funny. I did the Hallmark Friends, what do they call it? The Home and Family Show. And we talked about naked dreams, but they forbid me to say the word naked. So I had to say, when you dream without clothes, no, when you don't have your pants on, I couldn't say naked. Anytime I say naked, they would look at me like, oh, we're going to get bleeped. We're going to lose our ratings. Like, ah. So now I'm paranoid to say the word naked.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm going to break it. Naked, naked, naked. Ha.
So I love that you brought up your dream oracle cards because I've used your cards and I think they're really fun. And I wonder if they're something that's useful for people that don't remember their dreams. Like what do people do when they don't remember their dreams? How do they get started on them?
It's just like a muscle because it's something that we all have innate access to. And some of us are more gifted than others, like you, case in point. I mean, you have massive lucid dreams without even trying. Some people have to try so hard and they'll get one measly lucid dream their whole life. Just like everybody can sing, but not everybody's an opera singer, but we can all sing. So we all have access to remembering dreams and to playing in the realm of dreams. And there's a lot of people that tell me, but I don't dream or I don't remember dreams. So there's a few little tricks that we can do to start the process of remembering. The first thing is to know that there's value, that there's gold in them, there are hills. And if you know that there's value, then you'll start to, then it will become a little bit juicier to you or give you reason to pay attention. And the Dream Oracle cards is just something you can do like on a daily basis, just to be simple about it. You kind of shuffle the cards and pick one random card and see what that might say. And then they all get you thinking about cards. Should I pick one and see what it says?
Yeah. Yes.
Pick one for us. Okay, I'm going to have to walk over. So let me see. Drum roll, please. Okay, Lisa, tell me when.
Go.
Okay, here we go. And I picked, oh my God, of course, sex, kiss, hug. So this is a symbol. So we can look at what is sex, what is kissing, what is a hug, what does that symbolize in a dream? And what it's typically symbolic of is about intimacy, connection, deep connection. A hug is about kind of ordinary connection or forgiveness. A sensual dream is usually about radical embrace, radical acceptance, or radical connection, soul to soul, body to body. It can sometimes be about just kind of, you know, wish fulfillment. I talked to somebody the other day that has lots of sexual dreams about a coworker that she's got a mad crush on. So her dreams would be very wish fulfillment-esque, but more often than not, it's symbolic of an aspect of yourself that you are falling in love with, that you're connecting with.
Well, so. I know, like I kind of go with the Jungian sort of dream analysis that everything in the dream is an aspect of yourself.
Yes.
What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a major Jungian, and it's one of the best ways to start the process of interpreting your dream, because you can just look at all the different people or all the different things, and you can say, well, what does this represent, and how is this a part of me that I'm either healing or forgiving or moving toward? If you dream about somebody or something that's unpleasant, that you go, ugh, then, you know, that might be a part of your sewer or the part of you that you don't like, and your job is to learn how to embrace it. Or you might dream about the Dalai Lama, or you might dream about somebody that you put on a pedestal and you might say that's an aspect of yourself, your higher self, that you're coming into integration with. And usually it's a really, more often than not, it's a really empowering way for people to interpret their dreams. A lot of people don't like it when they dream about something unpleasant. And I say, well, that's an aspect of you. They're like, not, no, it isn't. No, I'm perfect. I'm, yeah. You know, it's like Debbie Ford's book, The Dark Side of Light Chasers. A lot of people, probably people that listen to this show, are light chasers, people that really are into the healing world. And I would say a lot of light chasers have some really dark dreams, partly because they reject their shadow. They want to be so light and so healing oriented that they don't know what to do with the dark stuff. And they don't realize that when you embrace it, when you own it, when you look at it, it can be so deeply empowering, just like owning your inner sewer, owning your underground, owning the place where your roots grow. It might not be pretty down there, but it's so important and essential.
Well, I really hope your sex, hug, kiss dream is, was, I hope that's a premonition, Kelly.
And there's that too. It's for you. It's, I pull, you're the one that said stop. So not that you wanted me to stop, you know, but if you'd like, I'll read you just a little bit of what this one says. There's a message, meaning, and mantra. I'll just read the message really quick. It says, you are intimately connecting with all of life, Lisa Campion, intertwining with the parts of you that you place above you and undulating with the aspects you place below you. You are all of it, everyone, everything, everywhere, all the time. Allow the orgasmic blending of opposites within you to elevate, strengthen, deepen, uplift, and amplify your personal power and ability to co-create the life of your dreams.
That's great. I love it.
There you have it.
Yeah. And I know you just wrote a book about like sex and relationship and love dream imagery, right? Is that one of your new books?
I did the Love, Sex, and Relationship Dream Dictionary. Yeah. So this is a way to be able to decode dreams through the steamy lens of romance. There's a lot of us, and I would say more women than men are probably going to be drawn to this book. I mean, partly because it's bright pink and there's not a lot of guys that like hot pink covered books, but it's really to help women to get connected with what their sensual dreams are all about and relational dreams. I mean, we're here to mate and relate and to figure out how to get along with each other. And our dreams are often helping us to figure that. Even the dream that I had about my godmother is helping me to figure out how to have relationship, how to open myself up to embrace somebody that thinks and behaves differently so that I don't just, you know, try to kill them off or try to get rid of them or ex them or unfriend them. My dream helped me to open my heart. So it's not just about sensual dreams with a beloved or a potential sexual partner. It's about just relationships in general too.
I remember the first time I really did like dream analysis, I was really young, like maybe 20 years old. And I had this dream that my whole family was sitting around this Thanksgiving table and I got really angry in the dream and I went roar and I kind of pushed the table over and then I was stomping up and down on the food and then I got really big like the size of Godzilla and I was like roar and I was like smashing buildings and it was really fun and I woke up and I was like I think I should think about that and I thought well maybe I'm sort of angry at my family and of course, one of those people that would never admit to being angry at my family or wanting to do that on Thanksgiving. And it was so clear to me that the dream was like this pressure valve that was like releasing all this, you know, angry. It was like my subconscious, you know, tapping me in the shoulder and saying, you might be a little mad.
Oh, my God, I love this dream. I would, if it were my dream, I would say it's also about giving thanks for your extraordinary power. Ah. And usually when there's a shared meal in a dream, it's usually about the shared values that we're ingesting. And the fact that you stomped on that, like, I'm not going to share these values. I'm not going to eat this crap. I'm not going to. It's like, whoa, you were kind of breaking, not breaking bread in the traditional way, but breaking something about like a traditional way of being so that you could stand in your power. And I love that you love that. It makes me think of an Aboriginal man I had a conversation with who, and as you probably know, Aboriginals are big dreamers. In fact, they talk about being the original dreamers. And his perspective was that most Western people that don't pay attention to dreams, it's unfortunate for them because they have to play out their dream material in their waking lives. Where if they could pay attention to dreams and really use their dream material, they could work it all out in their dreams so that their waking life could be 1,000 times more harmonious. Like for me, I didn't have to yell at my godmother. I didn't have to get into a huge bloodbath with her. It all got solved and resolved very neatly and nicely without me having to lift a finger. I mean, I did write a post on Facebook, so I did lift a finger in that way, but it was kind. And you, I don't know what happened with you and your family, but I feel like you may have come into your power without having to get their permission, and you got to break ties with them in some way on your own without maybe having to be as messy as it might otherwise have been. Was it still messy in waking life?
No, not really.
See, yeah. It doesn't have to be horrible where you disavow your family and you leave them. You can just pay attention to your dreams and know that you crossed a threshold in that dream. You were initiated in some way, I would say, if that were my dream, into your inner Godzilla aspect that is 1,000 times bigger than what could be contained in a nice, neat little family box.